everyone. This week on the Mind Movement Health podcast, I'm chatting with the amazing Christine M. Roberts. Christine is a success coach who partners with ambitious women to do less, be more, and create your best life using her signature GROW method. With neuroscience-based practices, Christine guides women to design their most purposeful and fulfilling life. And this week on the podcast, she's going to be sharing with us her healthy thoughts diet. We're going to be diving into our mindset and how we can really focus on the positive to change our life. Let's listen in. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and this week we have the amazing Christine Roberts on the show. So welcome to the show, Christine.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's so great to have you on. And we're diving into mindset this week, and we're going to be talking about Christine's philosophy about the healthy thoughts diet. Now, before we kind of get and delve into that, can you introduce yourself, Christine, to the listeners?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm Christine M. Roberts, and I only put the M in there because if you search me, that's what you'll look for. When I started getting my website, Christine Roberts was a very common name, so I had to differentiate myself. And I live here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the U.S., and I'm originally from upstate New York near Canada, and I've been working in the culture and leadership world for my career. So most recently, I worked with Disney Institute in their advisory group. And our group would work with companies taking the Disney approach to how Disney creates the magic and working with companies to apply that framework and principles in their business. And then previous to that, I was with John Maxwell Company as a leadership consultant. So working with companies, implementing intentional leadership strategies and company culture strategies. And in my life, I've just been just a student of myself and human behavior. I love people and studying, you know, quantum physics and psychology. And that's kind of, and now I'm an entrepreneur. I started my own online digital marketing business where I've created online coaching courses, and I'm a certified life coach and also do speaking and writing. And so, yeah, that's how it's very, very brief story of where I am right now.
All condensed.
Yes. I could go on and on. You don't want to hear it.
All good. Now, can you sort of maybe share how you got into this field? And if maybe you had a personal experience or something that kind of propelled you to sort of enter it?
Yeah. No, actually it goes back to childhood. Like I grew up in a really dysfunctional environment. You know, my dad was an alcoholic and, I witnessed domestic violence and, you know, was sexually abused as a child and just had a lot of really difficulties and dysfunction. And, you know, when I say that, I'm really thankful for all of that because it's made me who I am today. And when I was a kid, you know, I remembered very distinctly, I was 10 years old and I was sweeping the sidewalk at our broken down house. And I thought to myself, this is not going to be my life. And even at that time, I would think to myself, like, why do people do what they do? You know, like I knew my dad, he had a lot of difficulties in his childhood and was a broken man. And I don't know, just was interesting to me, like, you know, and I remember very distinctly that day, I was like 10, I said, as I mentioned, and I was like, this is not going to be my life. And I just decided that my life is going to be an awesome life. And I really do. I'm so blessed. I've just got so much abundance in every way. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's, you know, I love my life. And so I always just thought about that. Like, why do people do what they do? You know, why does one person choose one path and another person chooses another path? You know, and maybe they've had, you know, one person's had everything, you know, handed to them and they've got all this, you know, people that love them and they're doing great, but they're not thankful. And why do some people that have been dealt a difficult card, like, are successful? Like, why do we do what we do? So that's kind of where it stems from. And when I was younger, I just started really immersing myself in personal development, you know, listening to and reading like Tony Robbins and Dr. Vincent Peale and Zig Ziglar and, you know, Dean, like just like all of these different thought leaders. So that's kind of where the root of all of that comes from.
Yeah. And I love that you sort of shared that, and that sometimes there is a tipping point, or, you know, because I know myself, I grew up, I have older brother and sisters that had drug and alcohol issues as I was growing up. And, you know, money, we weren't, you know, poor, but, you know, my parents worked hard to have the money that they had. And, you know, we were always, you know, we can't do that because we don't have the money. And a same similar thing to me, that I just got to that point probably around the age of 11 or 12. And I just went, this is not going to be my life. Like, I am going to make different decisions that will change the course. And like you said, still things just still come up and that, but I think there is a conscious choice for a lot of people, maybe not for everybody, but having been through maybe some difficult situations can sort of change the course. Cause, you know, we'll often say, you know, you see families and you've got brothers and sisters and you're so different from one another. So what can maybe, you know, cause this to happen? And I know for me that, yeah, I made a conscious decision when I was younger too, to make a change. So it's really interesting that you brought that up. Now, we are chatting about mindset and leadership today, and I know that you talk about the healthy thoughts diet. So I'd love for you to share that with us of what it is and dive into deeper into that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I'm so passionate about this. And, you know, healthy thoughts diet, really the root of it, you know, I'm Christian, and the Philippians 4:8 is really the premise of everything that I believe. And it's all about, you know, what we feed our minds. So like, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely or of good report, meditate on those things. And that ties back to the whole idea of belief drives behavior. What do you believe? What you believe comes from what you feed your mind. Just like, if, you know, I know you're health conscious, you're yoga, you're an expert in that field. When you feed your body healthy food, your body, you're going to have a healthy body. When we feed our mind healthy messaging, healthy information, that's going to affect our beliefs. And what we believe drives what we think, which drives how we feel, because you can't have a feeling without having a thought first that drives that feeling. Feelings drive actions, you know, what we do, how we act. And ultimately those drive the results in our lives. So it's like our culture today, there's so much negativity. Now, you're in Australia. I don't know if it's a similar thing there, but, you know, here in the US, we're just going, there's just so much toxic messaging out there. And, you know, my husband and I went to the movies last night, and I'm just a total Pollyanna. So I am on the other end of the spectrum. I like to only, I'm very intentional about what I feed my mind and only allowing really, you know, good stuff into my mind. And the movie we saw, I thought it was going to be a comedy. It was like a comedy action. And it's like, even the previews of the movies previewing before the movie, everything was so disturbing, like just so violent and disturbing. And I'm like, it made me feel angry, because our subconscious mind is programmed by all of these things. Everything that we're exposed to, whether we realize it or not, it's coming into our mind and our spirit. You know, a good example is, I've mentored a young lady through the Mentor Me North Georgia organization since she was 9 years old. And when she was 11, I went to pick her up. And this is like, you know, she's grown up in a really challenging situation. And I went to pick her up to take her out. And there was a show on TV that was like really violent. You know, it was like a guy holding another guy in a headlock and he had a gun to his head and the guy's sweating and it was like violence. And, you know, just like, I thought, oh gosh, you know, it's not really, this is not the cartoons. It's not a Disney show. It's like really disturbing. And I was thinking, you know, gosh, a little girl shouldn't, you know, really shouldn't be exposed to that. But, you know, it's not my place. The next time I pick her up, she says to me, "Christine, I've been having nightmares about someone coming in and killing my family and raping me." And I'm thinking to myself, how does she even know what rape is? You know, like she, you know, she's a little girl. I said to her, "Well, your mind is pure. You know, God makes our minds pure. Where do you think these ideas, these thoughts are coming from?" And she's like, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Have you been exposed to anything, any of those kind of images, you know, violent images?" And she goes, "No, no." And so I said, "Well, when I picked you up the other day, there was a show on with like a you know, those kind of violent images." And she says, "Oh, those shows don't scare me." And to me, that was the epitome of what's happening to people. We're so used to all the negative ugliness that we are not even aware of how it affects our subconscious and our spirits and our, you know, our thoughts. And so anyway, that's kind of a long answer to your question.
No, but I understand what you mean in the sense that, do you know what I mean? Our dreams are where our subconscious processes, you know, some of these thoughts and things that we're exposed to. And I know with my girls, even especially since, you know, we have been in and out of lockdowns and everything that's been happening with the world, I've been a lot more aware of, you know, even if the news comes on in the car, I just turn the news off, because majority of the time it's story after story that's, you know, talking about somebody that's been stabbed or somebody that's, you know, been murdered. And my girls are only 5 and 7, so they're still quite young. And it's stuff that, you know, in time, obviously they need to learn about, but not on a daily basis, because then it can start to build up and play on their thoughts and stuff. So, yeah, I do definitely understand where you're sort of coming from with all that. And I do think here, even in Australia, we're exposed. I've noticed with the news, you know, they always finish it with a news highlight. They ended on something happy, but the majority of everything, you know, leading up to that is all negative, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I saw like a TED talk where this professor was talking about, like, I think it's like 90% of the news is negative. It's like, there's a philosophy or a saying in that industry, like, if it bleeds, it leads. And there's only like, you know, and I could have these numbers off, but it's like, you know, 5% of it is human interest stories. So it makes you think that everything's bad. Like the world is bad. People are bad. It's not, you know, most people are good. You know, most, like, there's so much goodness in the world, but you just don't hear about it typically. So, you know, we have to just be intentional to find it.
I'm going to say it's probably not rate worthy when it comes to the news. So therefore they just don't show it.
Yeah, it's sad.
Now, if there, you know, if somebody maybe has, you know, potentially a negative mindset, are there some tactical things that people can start to do to improve their mindset?
You know, first, it's being aware of it. You know, in my coaching course, I have what's called the no complaint contract. And the first time I did this contract, it's about not complaining for 30 days. And it's kind of like when you do a food log, you know, I've known people that they say, "Oh, I don't eat, you know, I can't lose weight. I don't eat anything bad." And then when they start paying attention to what they're eating and it's like, "Oh, you mean that hot fudge sundae? Oh, I forgot about that." And so, it's so the no complaint contract, it's really cool. And this is something that anybody out there listening, I want you to do this for the next 7 days. I want you to pay attention to you're like complaining. And when you do that, it raises awareness to what you're thinking about, because a lot of times we complain for no reason. It's almost like socially, you know, so here's an example. I was in Chicago. I've always traveled a lot for my jobs, and I was in Chicago, at the airport in line, and everything was moving along. You know, there wasn't anything, you know, major going on. It was moving at a reasonable pace. And I was in a really good mood. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do meditation in the morning. I journal. Like, you know, I've got these habits in my life to try to keep positive, which is a daily thing, by the way. And so this gentleman in front of me is like, he's hemming and hawing, and he's leaning over, and he's like, you know, like his energy, like he was like just emulating negative energy. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this guy is stressing me out. Like, I wonder what his problem. So I'm thinking, all right, give him grace. Maybe he's late. Maybe, you know, maybe he's something bad happened for him. So, you know, being the shy person that I am, I couldn't help myself. And I introduced myself and his name was Joe. And I just started chit-chatting with him. And I said, so Joe, what's going on? I said, when's your flight? And his flight was like 30 minutes after mine. So he had plenty of time. So I'm like, okay, that's not the deal. And I just started chit-chatting with him and I was asking him questions about where he was going. And I said, Joe, I go, what's going on? Why are you in such a bad mood? It seems like you're in a bad mood. And my husband's like, I cannot believe you ask people these. Somehow I get away with it. And he said something, and I'll be honest, I don't even remember what he said because it was so irrelevant. Like it didn't make sense. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I'm doing this no complaint contract for 30 days. And I said, I didn't think I complained much, but I realized that I do. And so I said, you know, that's really raised awareness for me about it. Well, it was so fascinating to me because this gentleman, Joe's energy totally shifted like 180. By the time we got through security, he like bought me, we were going by a coffee shop. He bought me a cup of coffee and his energy completely changed. And you know, the thing is, what happened, I believe, is I raised awareness to his thinking, you know, not like I did anything particular. It's just, I raised awareness to his thinking. And so for me and for myself, you know, I think everyone can get into a negative state, right? There's been times in my life, I can think of a couple of times in my life where I was in a negative state. And I was home. I was staying home with my children. I had just been traveling to like Singapore and Bangkok for international business. I had my son and then he was getting sick. He was having all these respiratory issues. And I said, my husband and I were like, I can't do this. Like I got to be home with my baby. And so I quit my job. I got pregnant with my daughter and our lifestyle completely changed because now we went from two incomes to one income. We had to move to a different house. Like everything changed. Like my whole life, my whole identity changed. And for any of you women out there that are moms with a baby and a toddler, you probably can relate. I love my kids. I would die for them. But at that time, it was really hard. I went from studying the Black-Scholes option pricing theory to like being a Sproutlet and knowing all the Wiggle songs. And I really was having a hard time being home full time. And like our financial situation was changed. And I was really getting in a bad place mentally. And I remember thinking, if someone could read my mind, like, you know, in the cartoons where they got little bubbles over their heads and they write things in there, like if anybody could have seen what was going on inside my mind, I thought they would take me away. And I thought, this is not me, you know, like this isn't me. And I've got to change my thinking. And so I immersed myself in just all positive stuff. I started journaling. Really, this was a thing that really helped me a lot. I just started journaling about what I was grateful for because I had been focusing on everything that I didn't have. And when I started focusing on what I was thankful for and what I was grateful for, I would write that in my journal every morning. And I just had a paradigm shift and I just snapped out of it. And so I think for anybody out there listening, if you're in a negative state, if you're in a bad place, it's okay. We all go through that. And it's a matter of just, you know, giving yourself grace and forgiving yourself for feeling like a bad person. Cause that's what I did. You know, I felt like I was a horrible person and that can be a lot of shame. You know, you can feel a lot of shame about your thoughts and just if you're in that place. And so, you know, I would say that, you know, raising awareness, paying attention to what you're thinking about, because we have 70,000 thoughts per day. And there's by the national, which is 1.2 thoughts per second. Those are all those little voices going on in our heads, you know, all those conversations. And the National Science Foundation shows that 80% of our thoughts are negative and 95% are repetitive. So, I mean, is that crazy?
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah, so it's that, it's so important because anxiety, depression, all these things are tied, you know, not to say that, you know, if someone has, you know, imbalances, chemical imbalances, and like, you know, those are very, you know, no subjects to take lightly. However, I think, you know, we can help ourselves by really taking, you know, taking the time to be intentional about what we allow into our minds and spirits.
Yeah. And sort of, as you said, there's a lot we can control. So if we can change some of those, then that's going to have a flow on effect.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the guy at the airport and him kind of being, you know, having those sort of negative expressions and things like that. If somebody is around someone like that all the time, like maybe it's, you know, your partner or someone in your family, you know, or maybe it's your best friend, what can we do to kind of, I guess, protect ourselves from that in a sense?
Mm. Oh, goodness. That's a good one. You know, I think that we all, like, there's a difference between, you know, we can try to influence other people in a positive way to, you know, like that conversation with Joe, where I said, oh, I've got this contract. So I, you know, it's like not trying not to make him bad or wrong, but right, you know, telling him that I've been doing this and steering the conversation so that we can shift into some good things. Now there's this, I'm trying to think of what to call it, like a model. It's called the 2 minute, 2 hour and 2 day people. And so if you think about this, think of a circle, and underneath the circle are three little spouts. Inside the circle are dots, and all of those dots represent all the people in your life. Now, in the bottom where the buckets are, the three spouts, and there's three little buckets, imagine there's a 2 minute bucket, a 2 hour bucket, and a 2 day bucket. Make sure all those dots, all those people, that you're putting them in the right buckets. Because you don't want to spend 2 days with a 2 minute person.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it.
Now, some of us are related to 2 minute people. And, you know, it's a matter of what I call limited exposure. You know, there's people in my life that you could give them $1 million and they would find something to complain about. And it's like, sometimes there's people that that's just their nature. And no matter what you do, you can't change anybody but yourself. So, for those people, you know, I always say, just pay attention to exposure. And it's not like you have to say anything about it. Try to set up, systems where, you know, you go with other people so that person, because I don't know, 2 minute people can just squelch your dreams, can just suck the life out of you. And it's not healthy for you. And, you know, God put us on this earth to thrive. And, you know, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to be around those people that suck the life out of you. It's almost like, let me give you permission to not have to be around 2 minute people. And again, it's just a matter of figuring out techniques, or, you know, if they want to do things, try to find ways to limit exposure. I have a client that we were talking about this idea, and she told me how she went to the hairdresser and she was sharing this idea with her hairdresser, and her hairdresser started crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what, why? Because the hairdresser's brother just was a person that was always in a tough place, and he relied on his sister, and she carried so much of the burden of him and his life. And, you know, he just sucked the life out of her, but she just felt like she was obligated to be there and to deal with that. And so when my client told her about this idea, it's almost like it gave her permission that it's okay. It's not like you don't want to help your brother or be there for him, but you got to set some boundaries, and you can't let that relationship take you down. And so
and I'm sure everybody can relate to that. There's always, you know, everyone's had a friend or a family member, or, you know, maybe you've been trying to help them and, you know, they're not sort of stepping up to change anything. And yeah, I think it can be very emotionally draining, physically draining. I know I've been through that myself. And yeah, setting some boundaries is a really great thing to do, but a really tough thing to do at times as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's not easy. And, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, figuring out who are the people that add value to your life, that lift you up, that, you know, you can share your dreams and they just, you know, inspire you to be better. You know, that's where to offset it, you know, we're going to have these, in, you know, 2 minute people in our lives. We, like you said, everybody, we all have lots of different people in our lives, but it's like really being intentional with the relationships of who do I want in my life where I can add value for them. They can, you know, add value for me and lift me up. I can learn from them. And so, you know, when I'm with them, they bring out the best in me. So it's like figuring out who those people are, because then when you're, it's like that whole Pareto principle, you know, the 80-20 rule. If you're around those people predominantly, then the 2 minute people, it's not going to affect you as much. So that's another thing to think about, is just figuring out, you know, who do I want to spend time with, especially when you're a busy person and you've got a family and your time is so valuable.
Yeah, you can only share it around so much. So just try to spend more of it with those people that are lifting you up. I know that's something that I try to definitely live by. Now, if there was a person, maybe they have been sort of trying to implement some of these things or trying to be positive, you know, and they're sort of, you know, it's taking a fair bit of time and maybe they want to change, you know, some part of their life. What are some, you know, habits that they might be able to sort of start to do that can help them get to this state?
What I would say is how you start your day is everything. You know, and it actually starts the night before, kind of thinking about, well, what time do you want to get up? What do you want to do in the morning? You know, what do you want to, like, what are some small wins that you can set yourself up for success? And so, I mean, getting good sleep, that's like a root of feeling, you know, having your body feel strong and healthy. So getting good sleep, starting your day. And these are all things that everybody knows, but I think that you can never hear it enough. I mean, I always, all the things that I've learned, I've been to so many big events with thought leaders and amazing people, but I hear a lot of the same stuff, but it still is good to hear as a reminder. And so, you know, getting out and moving, it doesn't, you don't have to do a 5 o'clock boot camp in the morning. Maybe it's taking a walk. Maybe it's just moving your body in some way. Journaling and having that quiet time, something that I think is so important in the morning. Our brains are just ready to be, like they're in a great place because you've just woken up and you don't have all the clutter going on. So avoiding your phone, I know this is a tough one for most people, but putting your phone somewhere else, like in your house you know, like we have our phones in the kitchen. I don't have my phone near my bed or anything. And trying to take time in the morning. I'm, like I said, I read devotionals, I journal and kind of set the intention for my day. And I make my bed. I make my bed every day. It's like one small win. Do you? Yeah, I figured you did.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, when my bed, and I think anybody out there, I know you might say, oh, it doesn't, I don't care. Why make it? I'm just going to give it. I promise you, that's another thing. Just make your bed, do it for like a week and see how you feel. It takes literally, if you time yourself, it'll take you like a minute and a half. People will be like, I don't have time. It's like paying attention to time is really important too. Like so many things that we do. I use my ab carver, you know, for exercise stuff. And I could say, oh, I don't have time for that. And I timed myself. And it took me like a minute and a half to do, you know, 50 of these ab carvers, and or maybe less than that. But it's like so many times we think things are going to take too long, or but they, if you pay attention to time, there's a lot more you can squeeze in.
Yeah. And I think it's prioritizing too. Like if, you know, I know there's a great app on the phone because it tracks how long you're on the phone. It tracks how many times you open it. And that can be a really big thing. If you even look into that and see how long you're actually on your phone for in a day and you say, well, I don't have 5 minutes to, you know, just do some stretches or whatever it may be. You do. It's just where you're putting your time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So yeah, you bring up so many points and all the things that I always, you know, am preaching about on this show, get more sleep, move your body. But like you said, you know, sometimes it's hearing it in a different way or by a different person, or you have to just be at that time in your life that you're ready to make a change too. So doesn't harm to hear it over and over. Now, I know, you know, a big thing that we often hear, I think in lots of media and on social, is that we should, you know, quotation marks, find a balance, like find this elusive balance between, you know, work and home life and between a whole lot of different things. But what are some of the ways we can actually find a balance?
Well, I think it's the, you know, the first thing is figuring out where are you in, what season of life are you in? Because I think different seasons of life require different things that you focus on. And you know, I listened to one of your podcasts where you were talking about quadrants and the different areas of your life, like, you know, family, health, fun and
work. Yeah.
Work. And yeah. And so I do, I have something similar called the self-discovery assessment where I get a little more granular with all the different categories in our life. And so it is like kind of going through and evaluating the different categories in your life and determining where is it that you want to focus. Because maybe like when you're a young mom and you've got a toddler and a baby or young children, your family is, when you've got kids, whatever, your family takes precedence. So maybe, you know, like leisure time or going out with your girlfriends is a lower number, but you're okay with that because this is the season that you're in. And as far as balance, you know, they're really, it's like, when you think of balance, it's really not, to be completely balanced is not possible. I think it's a matter of balance for you and where you are today in your life. Maybe you're in a situation, you just started a new career and you got to work a lot more, but you're okay with that because you know, like it's, you got to invest a certain amount of time to get ramped up and some other things are going by the wayside. Maybe like I mentioned with the, you know, when you've got a young family, your family takes precedence and maybe other things aren't as strong. And so it really boils down to what is best for you. So anyone listening, if you feel dissatisfied in your life, then it's going through and assessing those different categories. And I think that helps you to figure out where you've got some, where it's not balanced, you know, where you want to improve. And then you can get a plan for that. So I don't know, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I really do believe it's a very individual thing because I know I've got my Pilates studio at home and a lot of people always say to me, do you like working from home or do you find it really hard to separate that? And, you know, you do when you are working from home, it is hard to separate that, but I found a balance that works for me. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, oh, I could never do that because I couldn't have it at home. I wouldn't be able to switch off. So I think it is really individual. And I do agree, it depends what time of your life that you're in. I know when me and my husband both have our own businesses. So before we had kids, we worked a lot more. We knew we were investing and setting them up. And then once we had our kids, you know, we looked to hire people to help us in our business so that we could pull back a little bit and have that time. So yeah, I kind of agree with everything that you said. And I do really believe it is an individual thing. thing, and what may work for someone is not going to work for somebody else.
Definitely. Yes.
Now, I know you have your book, Inspirational Mind Food. So can you share with listeners a little bit about how you came to write it and, you know, what's your book about?
Yes. So this is kind of funny. I've written a column in a magazine for over 10 years. And so the articles are, it's kind of like a motivational corner kind of, article. And so I've been doing that for a long time. So I had accumulated a lot of articles, and they're all really short. Like in the magazine, your article has to be 350 to 500 words. So not very long. And I had accumulated a bunch of articles, and they're all just kind of like on different things, like motivational things. And one of them is about talking about that guy, Joe. You know, the tension was, you know, about complaining. And my articles are always like me, I relate something to me, like something that's happened to me, a tension that I've had. And I relate it, then I relate it to other people. So it's like me, we. So I take that same tension, relate it to other, you know, if you're an empty nester, a college student, retired or whatever, I try to relate that tension to other people. And then it's like, I've got the solution. So me, we, solution. So I offer like some kind of action item for people. And then you, so I give like an action item for people to do. And then we, so if you do this, you know, solution, how it'll affect all of us. So me, we, solution, you, we. And so I had gone to see the movie. Did you ever see the movie Marley and Me with Jennifer Aniston? Yes. And Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
So I mean, first of all, I'm a dog person. So I was like losing it when the dog died. I mean, it was just horrible. And my husband and I first, we got a lab when we first got married. I mean, I could relate to a lot of stuff. I could relate to like when she was in the house and the babies just went to sleep and then the dog barks and wakes them all up and she like wants to kill the dog. And I swear I had that same thing happen. And, but in the movie, you know, where Owen Wilson writes a column in a newspaper. And later in the movie, when they go up to, they move up to the Northeast, and she's flipping through all his articles. And I had all my articles, I would cut them out because I figure someday my kids might care. So I have like a thing that I've put them in. And in the movie, she says to him, "You should turn these into a book." And I mean, in the movie, it hit me like, yeah, I should turn my articles into a book. It's almost like a chicken soup for the soul kind of thing, you know. Oh, it's simple ideas that just hopefully get people to think and just kind of raise awareness to different things. And Inspirational Mind Food is the name of the book. It's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And that was the inspiration for it.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you, Marley and Me, do you know what I mean? It was just kind of the interconnection that kind of made you maybe think about
that. Isn't that funny? Like how something in your, I'm sure you've had the same thing. Like there's been something that you had going on and then something just triggers and it's like a light bulb and you're like,
yeah,
oh,
that's it. It's like, that makes complete sense. So yeah. One of the final questions I did want to ask is about negative thoughts. Cause I know you were sort of saying before that we have that many negative thoughts, but is there a number that's kind of normal to have of negative thoughts? Like I know we could have too many, but you know, they're going to creep in and sort of out throughout our day and stuff. So, you know, if someone is sort of like, oh, maybe I do have too many, but maybe that's just normal. How can we sort of work out whether or not how many negative thoughts we have is normal?
I would say, again, it goes back to that 80-20 rule. Like if you're predominantly feeling satisfied in your life, feeling happy, joyful, if you feel pretty good in your life and maybe you have some negative stuff pop up, you know, we all do. But if the predominant things are negative thinking and you feel sad, you feel anxiety, you just feel dissatisfied in your life, then that's when I would say, you know, like what happened to me when I was telling you earlier about when I was home with my kids and I was like, I just said, this is not me. So anyone, and I was like, it got to the point where I said, I can't keep going like this. I can't keep going with having all this negative thinking. And so anyone that's listening, you know, I would say, first of all, it just depends on the level of that, but seek help, find people that care about you. And, you know, if you're really feeling negative and feeling just hopeless, go and talk to someone and, you know, like, just get, there's people that love you, that care about you, that want to help you through it. And things that you can do for yourself is to, you know, like, say there's things you're interested in, just start listening to good stuff. There's so many podcasts like this one. And I'm thinking anybody who's listening right now is a person who is really self-aware, who is a go-getter, who wants to grow in their life, who has an abundance mindset. So if you're listening to this, you are the person. You are the person with the abundant mindset. And maybe if you're in a funk, it's okay. Just, I mean, I listen to tons of Audible books. I listen to things when I'm running. Also, another thing is music. Like, I've got a happy playlist. If you go to my website, I've got a happy playlist. And it's just like positive music. There's science behind, you know, when you listen to a rhythm or an aria, it creates dopamine in your body. And, you know, when it's positive lyrics and you just like crank it up and like, I like to run, I'm a runner. I just get like, I feel so good. And so that's another thing. And getting out in nature, like, those are some practical things that you can just go, in fact, go out in nature, go for a run and listen to great music and you'll be totally pumped.
Yeah. That sounds like my dream day, really.
Yes. I love it. I love it. And I've got this thing, you know, in our car, and like when I'm by myself, I'll plug in my phone, you know, with all my playlists and I just crank it up. If anybody, you know, and I like start singing and just getting into it. And I'm like, I try to do that on roads where there's nobody around.
I'm sure we've all had a crazy person. Don't worry. Now, if there was one thing that listeners could do today that they could, you know, help start to change their mindset and their positivity, what would you recommend?
You know, I think the key thing is that awareness, you know, that we've already talked about is the awareness, and then do things that bring you joy. And like what we just talked about, music, getting outside, moving your body, getting around two-day people, or, you know, like just being intentional about who you're hanging out with, what you're listening to, what you're watching, how, you know, what you're doing to take care of your body. Those are the things that I would just say, try to incorporate some of those things every day, and you'll have a shift in your thinking and head in that direction to that positive mindset. And, you know, there's this thing, and it says happy people tend to engage in healthier behaviors. So it's really important to be intentional with these things. And there's, studies that contend that people with higher levels of positivity towards life are less likely to smoke, drink in excess, overeat, or eat unhealthy foods, which all are, you know, habits to a long, you know, successful life. So, you know, being intentional with those things is so important, because ultimately that affects the quality of our lives.
Yeah. And I am very big on everything is interconnected. So, you know, what we eat affects how we feel, then that affects what movement we'll want to do, or motivation if we want to do, which will affect our thoughts and so on and so forth. So yeah. A perfect way to end our interview. Now, where can listeners connect with you and find out more or follow you on social?
Yes. Yeah, so Christine M for Marie, ChristineMRoberts.com. /mindset quiz. I've got a mindset quiz that is really great to help people kind of see, get a benchmark of where they are. And then we have tactical strategies for, you know, a lot of these things that we've talked about to help people to move in the direction, you know, to improve that, which ultimately improves your relationships, your health, your finances, your career, like it really affects everything. So ChristineMRoberts.com. And then on social, if you just, you know, like everybody, I'm out there. If you look up Christine M. Roberts on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you'll find me.
Amazing. And I'll link all of those up in the show notes too for the listeners. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Christine. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.